I saw a lot of lips moving during that song. I guess everybody knows that one pretty well. That's a beautiful song. Thank you so much, Francine. That was just beautiful. Like many of you, I grew up in a very religious home. As a part of being religious, we went to church a few Sundays of every month. My mom and dad were involved in different boards and committees and even in a choir. In high school, I was a leader in the youth group. I guess you should say I was, as you've heard many people say of themselves, I was a spiritual person, a religious person. I believed in God. I went to church sometimes and tried to be a good person. And then I went to college, where I met some real Christians. These fellow students also believed in God, went to church, and tried to be good persons, but I observed that they had something that I didn't. They had more than a religion. They were more than religious. They had a relationship with God. I could hear it. I could see it. They would talk about how they loved Jesus, how they were so thankful for his dying for their sins, how he forgave them and loved them. They would talk like Jesus was their dearest friend. They would talk about talking to Jesus, about him speaking to them through his word. And they would talk about how they wanted to change in their thoughts, in their actions, in ways to honor Jesus. It wasn't long before I prayed to invite Jesus into my heart as my Savior and my Lord as they had. And when I did, I went from having religion, being religious, being so-called spiritual, to actually having a personal relationship with God. I also found that I also loved Jesus. That I also was so thankful for his dying for my sins and how he forgave me and loves me. And I knew Jesus as my dearest friend and how to talk to him and how he spoke to me through his word and how I wanted every day to change my thoughts, my actions to honor him. And that same thing happens again and again with every person that invites Jesus into their hearts as their Savior and Lord. And it's happened ever since the first believers became Christians. And the early Christians who had gone from a religion around them to of personal practices, they came to a personal relationship with God, and God took them and formed them into his body, into his family, into his church. And that early church was a very special place where they were united as Christ ones, who their unity was there because they all shared Jesus as their Savior and as their Lord. And they shared that together. They all had moved from religion or spirituality to having a personal relationship with Christ. And they all so loved Jesus, and they all were so thankful that he had died for their sins and forgave them and loved them. And they were all knowing Jesus as their dearest friend, and they all individually and together grew every day through his word. And they all wanted every day to change in their thoughts and actions to honor Jesus. However, as we humans will, people began to drift to making church a place of human effort and works, religion again, rather than a place of personal relationship where there was a sacrificing Savior and confession and forgiveness and repentance and change in thoughts and actions to honor Jesus. And the drift moved from Christianity, to churchianity. Churchianity is doing church according to human ways rather than biblical ways. And too many people have drifted into doing church by being spiritual or religious, by their own list of religious works, rather than enjoying a unity in Christ through a common Savior and a humble change in thoughts and actions to honor Jesus. And sadly, too many churches across the world have too many so-called members who are practicing churchianity rather than a true biblical humble change in thoughts and actions to honor Jesus, Christianity. I want to give you a basic but bold challenge. First, if you have prayed to invite Jesus into your heart as a personal Savior and Lord, if you so love Jesus with all your heart because of all he has done for you, if you humbly want every day to change your thoughts and actions to honor Jesus, if you are so excited to worship Jesus every Sunday, if you are so excited to grow in Jesus in Sunday school and small groups, if you are so excited to serve Jesus in his church, if you are so excited to love and encourage your fellow Christ ones in the church, then you are practicing true Christianity and not churchianity. Praise God. However, if you think you're going to heaven just because you believe in God, there's this weird scripture that says that the demons believe and they tremble. If you say you appreciate Jesus, but you don't want to get over-involved or overboard about him, you want to become a fanatic. If you want to pick and choose your thoughts and actions and morality, no matter what Jesus and his word says. If you go to church to try to earn your way to heaven, if you don't care much about growing in Christ, if you don't think it's important to serve Jesus in his church, if you think the church is all about you and your preferences and your way, if you don't really care about the feelings and the needs of others in the church, then you may have drifted from Christianity into churchianity. Too many churches and church members are really practicing churchianity rather than vibrant Christianity. And like me, they may not be aware of it, and maybe it was modeled before them as they were young. It's time, if you've done that, to move on and come back to Christianity. In the book we've been following, entitled I Will, the author, Tom Rainer, gives us some headings to kind of explore as to the symptoms of churchianity over Christianity. I'd like to just kind of review those with some of my own personal comments. I'll use his handles, but it's my contents in here. The first symptom of churchianity is church has become a spectator sport. We like to watch a sport on TV, myself included. I have no idea why those coaches don't listen to me when I'm yelling at them on that screen. I surely know more than they do. I surely know the game better. I know the players better. I know what's going on more than they do. We all kind of do that, don't we? We yell and scream. Every now and then, devil say, honey, they really can't hear you. Yes, of course they can. We think we're more educated and experienced than they are. It's the same with church sometimes. Unless you're getting on the field or getting into the game, don't think you have a clue as a spectator. So what's going on here? Unless you're going to be an active church member and get into the work of the ministry, don't think you have a clue as a spectator. In my last church for my installation service, a dear pastor friend of mine spoke a message, and he said something similar to this. He says, God has given you a new quarterback. But you need to realize if the quarterback's on the field all alone, there's no game. It's just a man standing in the field. A quarterback has leadership responsibilities, but he needs a team, and he's nothing without a team. He also needs members on a team who are equally committed to the work of the team. You know, we have what I believe, in my years of ministry, one of the most wonderful opportunities as a church, and a lot of that is due to the wonderful, powerful staff that God has brought together in Pathways Baptist Church. It is a powerhouse of potential for God to use. But you need to realize that we, staff, are nothing if we're standing on the field all alone. These staff have leadership abilities and education and qualities and experience for this church's ministry and mission, but we need you, the team, to be a part of this ministry so that we all together will do God's ministry and mission and go forward. And that you can't do as a spectator. If a person treats God's church as a spectator sport, they're practicing churchianity rather than Christianity. So that's the first symptom. And I'm so pleased to say this, as I look out at the faces out here, I see people that serve in numerous capacities as part of this team. I thank God for you. And if you're at the point where you can't, something that's holding you back, I mean something in a real need or something that's holding you back, but you'd really love to be here, we understand that. We'll pray you through that till you're available. But if this is the first time you thought, you know, you're right, I need to get into it, please do. It's a challenge to move from thinking it's just because you go to church, but because you want to be a part of the team. A second symptom of churchianity is if we start thinking that church is all about just me. It's about me. There's a creative video that epitomizes the concept of somebody thinking that church is all about them. That this is all about me, about us individually. And I want to have a disclaimer here. I have not witnessed anybody here acting the extreme way depicted in this video, but the video, although humorous, is challenging.
It's all about me, really.
It is all about you. Now, the greatest collection of me worship ever assembled on one CD.
It's all about now, I lift my name on high.
All 20 songs, all about you. This amazing collection is great to share with friends, if you have any. Everyone can join in the worship with you, for you, and about you, because you are unique, and you love you.
There is none like me. No one else.
All this for only $19.95.
Like
operators are standing by to serve you.
And I am why I sing, and I am why I live.
If you order now, you'll also receive a second CD of Yuletide Favorites.
I sing, no, come let.
Call 1-800-ME-ME-ME or order online at me-myself-and-I.com. Call today because no one can praise you like you.
Again, I've not seen anyone here express that attitude, but it just kind of pushes at us, isn't it? It's not about me. It's about the Lord. It's about Jesus. It's not about me. An about me person would say these things very emphatically. The sermons are too soft, or the sermons are too loud. The people dress too formal, or the people dress too casual. Are the music's too traditional? Are the music's too contemporary? Are the temperatures too hot? Are the temperatures too cold? Are the people are not friendly? Are the people are too friendly? We actually got a letter about that, that we're too friendly. All God's people say, amen. Keep that one up. And by the way, you're sitting in my pew. That is, church is all about me. A church about me is a person who has a country club mentality about the church. We want it all to serve us, not that we are here to serve others and outside. Churchianity is about being served and receiving and having everything my way and having my needs met exactly like I want them to. But biblical Christianity, biblical church membership is about loving and caring and understanding and submitting and giving and serving. Listen to Acts 2. 43 to 47, the early church awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together, had all things in common. They'll sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Why? Because they'd be drawn to that. You hear the care within the body. It's not about me, it's about us. It's about Jesus among us. A third symptom is that church is about dwelling on its flaws. Being in a church is like any other relationship. At the beginning, it's kind of new and exciting. Then after a while, you begin to notice some things that aren't perfect. I'm sure if you're married, your spouse hasn't seen anything imperfect about you since you were married. And in time, some things begin to maybe bug you, and you have a decision to make whether to stay or flee. Not realizing that you just may repeat the same behavior in every relationship, organization, and church that you try to replace it with. A lot of times we take our problems with us. Well, I'm going to tell you five little secrets, okay? First, your staff, including me, are not perfect. Then again, you knew that, didn't you? Not a secret. A second thing is, the person sitting next to you in the pew, say hi to them. And guess what? Not perfect. They're not perfect either. Third secret, you, not perfect. Oh, no. Fourth, because of your imperfect staff and the imperfect person sitting next to you, imperfect you and me who make up this church, not perfect. And a fifth one, out there are many churches. And guess what? None perfect. None. In my years of ministry, I've heard a few people say, well, if only the church were like the early church, the original church. And yes, in the early church, there were many believers who were loving and kind and caring, but be careful what you wish for that early church also had believers who were involved in bickering and fighting and division and cliques and power struggles and judging and suing and worldliness and lying and immorality and sexual sin and unbiblical teaching. Yeah, let's get that back. So be amused next time you hear someone say, I just wish the church was like the early church. Oh no, hopefully we're growing in that. The good news of the Bible is that God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son to live and die and rise so there could be forgiveness and cleansing and rebirth and eternal life and a new home and a new eternal family. And God did it for sinful and imperfect people like me and you. Amen. And how do we respond to such love and forgiveness and acceptance? How do we, who every day are loved and understood and forgiven and accepted through our shortcomings, how do we respond? By being critical of this one and that one and this program and that thing that isn't our preference? That is churchianity. And not loving, caring, kind, understanding, humble, and accepting biblical church Christianity. You can and will find flaws in every person in God's blessed church here, including yourself. The question, the challenge is, do you dwell on the flaws and be critical of others and the church? Or do you choose to grow in our maturity as members and extend love and care toward others and choose instead to be a part of the solution rather than a part of the criticism? Yes, church is about dwelling on its flaws in churchianity. A fourth symptom he identified was when a church has low expectations. There are a lot of churches, there are no requirements. Very few, they just want your name on the rolls. I've seen churches that say at the end of the service, if you'd like to come forward and join the church, not join Jesus, not ask for forgiveness, not become a Christian, but if you'd like to join the church like it is a country club, then come forward. And In a person who has not had any change in their heart or in their life, like a Christ one is to have, to be called a Christ one or become a part of his body, goes forward and just says, okay, I'm joining this club. So they come up and they say, okay, what's your name? What's your address? What's your phone number? We want to make sure we have your address because we're going to send you offering envelopes. And that means what it means to be a member. You just put your name on a roll and you have offering envelopes. And that's churchianity. Some look for a church where they can get lost. Slide in and out. That's churchianity. But we don't want you to feel that way here. Pathways Baptist Church is a very exciting place to be. God has merged two great, historic, faithful, and powerful churches together into a whole new, powerful church for him. To coin a phrase from Star Wars, now witness the firepower of this fully armored and operational battle station. This is God's church. This is God's mission field. We are God's gifted church members, all needed to be present and active as parts of his body. The neat thing is when you get involved, you are helping others, doing bodybuilding in God's church, and you begin to feel fulfillment and joy you never knew before. How can a church member, a gifted part of God's body, not be an active and contributing part of the body? If you read Scripture, there's no such animal as an inactive church member. Nowhere. My daughter attends a church down in North Carolina. The name of the church, I love the name of it, is Team Church. Team Church. High requirements. If you come here, you're a member, you have to be on a team. We expect you to worship regularly. We expect you to be in a small group or a growth group, and we expect you to serve. You're on the team. And if you decide to take a vacation from those for a reason that's not health related or that's a special relationship type thing, then we won't call you on you as a member right now until you decide to be active again. Wow. Team church. Isn't that cool the way that is? That a church that has low expectations will get low results. We have the highest expectations for God to use his church here. Symptom 5, a church of churchianity has a cliquish membership. I love this one. Yes, there are groups and clubs and even churches where the old guards do not want others to join. In my last church, a gentleman named Gary, who is a great servant, went on the trustee board. And the first thing he says, you know, I have an idea. And this older member, the chair of the board, said, you can keep that to yourself and just sit down and stay quiet. He didn't go back. Well, I came in and I said, what was that idea? Let's do it. Well, let's get going again. Let me tell you and let you in on a secret of how you can become a part of the most desired and important clique in this church. Got your ears coming? Do something. Do something and you're in the clique. Because we're not here to form a clique, we're here to serve. We are not a cliquish membership. If you want to say you're in the clique, just say come to the meeting, you're in the clique. We don't have that kind of thing going on here. We share together as the body of Christ. We are sharing together as a part of God's work here. Another way we can practice cliquish membership is to be too, and you've heard these terms and you'll hear them more around here, to be too inwardly focused rather than outwardly focused as a church. A biblical church needs a healthy balance between what we do inwardly, yes, to maintain the health and growth of the body inwardly, but we also have an equal responsibility to have an outward focus. Inwardly in the scriptures, we see that we are a body. You heard the scripture said today, we are the body of Christ. Each of you are a member of that body. Every Christian is to be an active part of the body, a hand, an eye, an ear. You need all the parts to be functioning together. Since in 1 Corinthians 12:12, just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of one body, though many are one body, so it is with Christ. And woven through Scripture are ways the members of the body cared for each other. They were challenged to treat each other as a family. We call brothers and sisters in Christ. Turn to somebody next to you and say, hey, brother, hey, sister, In Galatians 3:28, it says, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male or female, for you are one in Christ Jesus. They cared for each other in prayer, in food, in physical assistance. They were to offer hospitality to one another and care for the needs of other believers. They were instructed how to care for children and the young and the single and the married. They were to honor and care for the elderly and the widows. They were encouraged and challenged and disciplined. And along with serving each other inwardly as an active member of Christ's church, his body, was at equal responsibility to serve outwardly, to be outwardly focused. We are not loved, died for, forgiven, cleansed, born anew, and placed in God's church family just to take care of ourselves. It's not a little group in here. No, we are loved, died for, forgiven, cleansed, born anew, and placed in God's church to go to tell the world the good news that they too are loved and died for and can be forgiven, cleansed, born anew, and placed in God's family here. Woven through Scripture is a challenge that the members of the church body are to do in being outwardly focused. Matthew 28:19, first word, go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty works of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Romans 10:14 says, but how are they to call on the one whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in the one they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone proclaiming to them? That's our job. Matthew 5:14-16, you are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. I love 2 Corinthians 5:14. For Christ's love that we have received compels us. Compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. Because of the love and the blessings that we have received from Christ, that love and the Holy Spirit within us pushes us, compels us, drives us. It's the engine that makes us go. It is the consuming, controlling force behind everything we do. The love we have experienced drives us to share that love with others around us. The spiritual gifts that Christ places within us are given to serve the church family and to reach others for Christ for outreach. Inward focus is, now that I'm in, everybody else stay out. Outward focus is, now that I'm in, I go out to bring others in. And then we go out and we bring others in. And it goes on. We're here because of Jesus. We are gifted by Jesus. We're to serve and help others grow and to know Jesus in Jesus. I want to share one final point. I just want to just share, pause for a moment to share some very personal comments with you. Yesterday, like in no other way, the Pathways Baptist Church team took the field. And yesterday, our neighborhood and our community got a glimpse of the wonderful ministry of Pathways Baptist Church. Yesterday, we had over 60 families come onto our church campus, and we had over 90 of you serving. And yesterday, God was honored, and lives among us and outside of us were blessed. As your senior pastor, I could not be more pleased with my staff. I could not be more pleased by the volunteers who helped in so many ways. I could not be more pleased with the smiles as I watched, and the love and the care and the ministry and the hard work that so many in preparation and actually on the day of the block party were exhibited. Our desire was that our guests would see Jesus, and they did. You truly exhibited not churchianity, but Christianity. Keep it up. All God's people say, amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, Continue what you have begun here, Lord. We who have been able to, Lord, just give our hearts and lives to you. Thank you for using us, for equipping us, for gifting us, all as a church. Thank you that we do nothing out of our own efforts, our own giftedness, but all from you. Lord, I thank you for each person here. Thank you for all the gifts and the graces, all the wonderful time that they give to you and your work. Thank you for the exciting church you've put us in. And a wonderful community that Lord, we just want to share God's love with them. We thank you that they came yesterday and they've come at Bible school and they're coming to more and more of our ministries, Lord, that we want to honor you with and just share your love with others through. Father, bless those who are a blessing to you. We thank you for the honor and the privilege of knowing you and loving you and serving you. We thank you for helping us, Lord, and through faithful witnesses in our lives, from leading us from spirituality or Lord, being religious to a personal relationship with you now and forever. We, Lord, thank you for helping us to see the difference between churchianity and true Christianity. Lord, continue to use us. Continue to work among us. And Lord, for those sitting here today, who, Lord, you've tugged at their heart and said, now's the time. Now's the time to get in. Now's the time to get on the team, run on the field. Lord, move them to speak to one of us or just to look in the worship guide, Lord, and to see where they can plug in and just do it. Join the click. Join the kingdom's work. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done and what you're going to do. Help us to really show the world, Lord, what true Christianity is, not churchianity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.